The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 27th, through Sunday, November 2nd, 2025. The commentary for October was written by Amy Morehouse, an Episcopal priest, spiritual director, mental health advocate, fiber artist, and native East Tennessean. The commentary for November, which we began this week, was written by Bird Treacy, a Christian formation director, godly play trainer, consultant, writer, and cat lady who lives with her wife in Massachusetts. The commentary for Monday, October 27th, begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 41, verse 1. Happy are they who consider the poor and needy. The Lord will deliver them in the time of trouble. In rural East Tennessee, there are all kinds of poverty. People sleeping in barns or storage sheds. Single parents juggling whether they will buy medication for sick children or food to get them through the month. Patsy was our neighbor. She was 67, disabled, and lived in her car, with only her faithful dog to keep her company. Rain or shine, freezing cold or baking hot, Patsy and Buster kept each other from slipping into despair. After waiting on a housing list for over a year, it was a day of celebration when she could move into a place of her own. She was overjoyed. A shower, an actual bed, even a dog bed for Buster. There's no one else like Patsy, but there are people in need living near you. Maybe you feel like Patsy yourself with not many places to turn. If you can't help someone with food or shelter, you can still offer a kind word or a cup of coffee. Who might you meet and hear their story connecting you to another one of God's beloveds? And now I'm going to read the full Psalm number 41, which begins, happy are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in the day of trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. They are called happy in the land. You do not give them up to the will of their enemies. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed. In their illness, you heal all their infirmities. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies wonder in malice when I will die and my name perish. And when they come to see me, they utter empty words while their hearts gather mischief. When they go out, they tell it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They think that a deadly thing has fastened on me, that I will not rise again from where I lie. Even my bosom friend in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy has not triumphed over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the God, Lord of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, whose story would Jesus have you hear today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 28th, the day on which we commemorate the feast of St. Simon and St. Jude. It begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 94a. I am yours, oh, that you would save me. St. Jude, the 11th disciple, is most known in my home state as the patron of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. When founder Danny Thomas was a young entertainer, he wasn't finding much success and was moved to pray to St. Jude. Popularly known as the patron saint of desperate causes, the saint of last resort, the one you remember when all else fails. He prayed, "Show me my way in life, and I will build you a shrine." He kept his promise, and St. Jude now treats nearly 8,000 children each year and provides consultations to doctors worldwide. It conducts more clinical trials for pediatric cancer than any other children's hospital in the U.S. All children and families receive this life-saving treatment free of charge. We never know where our prayers will take us or what hopes God has for each of us. Even when we feel hopeless, we can pray to God, "Show me my way in life." God help us listen deeply for God's loving guidance and direction. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. The Lord exists forever. Your word is firmly fixed in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand today, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my misery. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your decrees. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, where does God need to restore your hope? The commentary for Wednesday, October 29th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 10. Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" For millennia, Jesus' parables have perplexed the faithful. When asked a question, Jesus would often answer with a different question or a parable, leaving the listener to wonder what they might learn from his words. Jesus' parables, the pearl of great price, the good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep, are stories that have stood the test of time. They tell us about losing ourselves and being found, about being separated from God and returning home, and about how we live in a just and whole community with one another. Their simplicity perplexes us, and their deep truths leave us sitting with them. Jesus says, "The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand." In the parables, Jesus upends our sense of the ordinary and helps us to question what we think we know. Now I'm going to read from the full passage from the Gospel today, Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, or the suggestion, I should say, is find a parable in the Gospels of Matthew or Luke, and then what in it puzzles you? Now the commentary for Thursday, October 30th, it begins with a passage from Nehemiah in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 7. "We have offended you deeply, failing to keep the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances that you commanded your servant Moses." Nehemiah bemoans the fate of the people of Israel, who have experienced devastation, yet again with the destruction of the walls of Jerusalem. He knows that they have done wrong, and that he has too. "Both I and my family have sinned," he prays with a broken heart. Sometimes in our lives we fall short, and we feel it deep in our bones. Our defenses have fallen, and we can see clearly where we need healing and strength. God will never turn away a broken and contrite heart. The sacrament of reconciliation is a deep and powerful liturgy available to everyone in the Episcopal Church and to many other churches as well. The penitent prays, "I pray God to have mercy on me. I firmly intend amendment of life, and I humbly beg forgiveness of God and his church." It is a soul-lightening relief to hear the answering words, "By Jesus' authority committed to me, I absolve you from your sins." And now I'm going to read this full passage from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, one of my brothers, Hanani, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them about the Jews that survived those who had escaped the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They replied, 'The survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire.' When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, 'O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to you to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my family have sinned. We have offended you deeply, failing to keep the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are under the farthest skies, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place at which I have chosen to establish my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. At that time, I was cupbearer to the king. And the moving forward question is to examine the service of reconciliation found in the Book of Common Prayer or in the prayer book of your faith. Consider what forgiveness from Jesus would lighten the load for you today. The commentary for Friday, October 31st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, 27b. Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? When Jesus tells the parable of the weeds and the wheat, the enslaved people are perplexed that wheat and weeds grow together in the same field. Whose fault was this, they wonder? Was the seed bad to begin with? They ask their master, should we gather up the weeds and burn them? He tells them to wait. All will be sorted out at the time of harvest. Too often we wonder in the kingdom of God, who is the wheat and who are the weeds? Am I a weed? Is my neighbor? What about that person who votes differently than I do? Or the person who believes differently than I do? We want to categorize people, sometimes on sight, without any further information. But the parable is clear. We aren't the ones who judge between the wheat and the weeds. That role falls to God alone. And now I'm going to read the full passage of Matthew from chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And the moving forward question for Friday is, what snap judgment would God have us rethink today? Now the commentary for Saturday, November 1st, the day on which we commemorate All Saints' Day in the Christian Church. This commentary begins with a selection from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13. In him you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Here's the commentary. When I make my church school calendar each year, I have to decide when to schedule the lesson on baptism. Do I wait for one of the appointed baptismal days, like All Saints, to teach about the sacrament? Or do I look for some gap in the rhythms of the liturgical year and let it fall where it may. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. The children ask for this lesson all the time, and it's easy to see why. Together we lay out what we need, pour the water, smell the chrism, and name the baby, one of the plastic dolls that sits in a basket. We cup the water gently onto the doll's head, and then we take up the oil again and we say the words, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit." These dolls may not really be part of the Great Communion of Saints, and yet as my circle of children replays these motions, they are welcomed in as surely as any of us are, named, blessed, tenderly anointed, and given their light, helping each of us remember that we belong too. Now I'm going to read this full passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel, and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to praise His glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power? God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet, and has made Him the head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And the moving forward question for this day, how do you talk about baptism with the young people in your life? Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, November 2nd. It is the 21st Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Psalm 32, verse 1. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away. In the great long book of Psalms, only a small handful are considered to be Psalms of wisdom, and Psalm 32 is one of them. It's also in a particular way a passage of delight, sometimes given the title, The Joy of Forgiveness. The concept of joy and forgiveness is an interesting pairing. I suspect we've all experienced times when seeking forgiveness has felt anything but joyful. When I think about the penitential posture that forgiveness may demand, I find myself turning not to the primary confession of sin, typically used in worship or even to the underutilized order for reconciliation of a penitent, but to the prayer of humble access found in the Book of Common Prayer and many other prayer books, which begins, "We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies." These words are a valuable reminder that we cannot earn God's forgiveness, and yet it is always forthcoming. It is simply God's nature. What a joy indeed. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, when have you found joy in forgiveness? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.